Wake up.
It's your early breakfast
with Africa Milani.
12 minutes, it is past 5 o'clock. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken landed in South Africa yesterday to kick off a three-nation visit aimed at countering Russian influence on the continent. The visit coming after the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov undertook an extensive tour of Africa late last month. Joining me on the line now is our U.S. Foreign Policy Specialist and Associate Director at the Daily Maverick, Brooks Spector. Brooks, lovely to chat to you. It's been a while. Good morning.
Good morning, Africa. It's still dark here in Johannesburg, but good morning.
I can assure you it's still dark here in Cape Town as well. It is telling, is it not, that the U.S. Secretary of State is in South Africa, really, what, 3-4 weeks after the Russian counterpart was touring in the main northern parts of the African continent?
No, it's an important point that you're making. The American government will argue that Secretary of State Blinken's visit to South Africa and other places really has nothing to do with Russia, but the reality of the fact is that the Russians had been all over Africa. The Chinese are in many places even more so, and to some degree, the Americans are now having to play a bit of catch up. Not the stuff that goes on a hamburger, but ketchup as in ketchup with the others.
No, fair enough. He will be holding talks with Minister Naledi Pandor today. What do you think will be the essence of those talks? And what is this announcement of the new Africa strategy?
Well, what the new Africa strategy is recasting the big umbrella of how they define American policy towards Africa as a whole and individual countries, obviously, as well, and pivoting it away from a focus on the military, from a focus on the quote-unquote war on terror, although the Biden administration doesn't use that term anymore, really, and toward engagement with nations that are more democratic, more open, and more more inclusive of their populations, and more focus on economic involvement, integration, in a sense, and in the unfinished business of things like, say, dealing with the COVID pandemic as a rubric for dealing with other things like that. So this whole large strategy will lay that kind of thing out in considerably more detail. But what you'll see is an effort to redefine American policy for the continent and to refocus it on the things that theoretically Americans do better than its rivals.
Once again, it was, what, several weeks ago that the Biden administration announced a U.S.-Africa summit to be hosted in December, I think, where he'll be inviting heads of state.
No, that's also part of this larger picture. And the idea there is to invite the heads of states, the various heads of states to Washington for a more in-depth series of discussions on those kinds of points, as well as a much deeper, broader engagement with the American business community, the American NGO foundation, education, academic community, and to bring all of that considerable money, intellectual power, and energy to bear on making the American-African relationship deeper and more thoroughgoing than it is now. Now, let's be fair also that African-American trade is not enormous, although for some countries it matters a great deal, not the least of which is South Africa. It's not the U.S. isn't the biggest trade partner, but it is one of. And crucial in all of this has been the effect of the African Growth and Opportunity Act, which started years ago, U.S. legislation that created a window for tariff-free, duty-free entry into America of African origin products. Not as much as could have been done has been used by African states for this, but South Africa's actually done rather well on that score, significantly with things like motor vehicles and vehicle parts. Most of the trade that's qualified for it has been petroleum and certain commodities, but for South Africa, a lot of it has actually been finished commodities, finished products.
That act, in fact, expiring, is it 2024 or 2025? Now,
2025.
Many of the people involved with that act, certainly from the South African point of view, expect that act to be extended. It certainly predates Biden. It predates Obama. It was extended, in fact, by Obama. But it was as far back as the Bushes, I think, or the Clintons.
Started with the Clinton administration, but actually rolled into much more effect in the Bush administration. Yes, you're absolutely right.
It will be extended, no doubt, in 2025, but I imagine there'll be some deep reflection on the African countries in terms of how they can maximize the benefit that they've been afforded by that act.
Well, I wouldn't absolutely bet that it will be extended, because this is not something that the president does with a magic wand. This is something that Congress has to do, because it's a law. And it is not entirely clear that the Congress, split as it is, Republican and Democratic Party membership, and possibly after this this year's midterm election, Republican in both houses even, it is not entirely a guarantee that it will be extended. And what that does is that leads you to a contemplation and a discussion of bilateral trade agreements, rather than unilateral decision to deal with tariffs and duties. A bilateral trade agreement between the U.S. and country A or group of countries would require a significant amount of time and energy and thought to negotiate, but it may, in the fullness of time, represent a sturdier, more long-lasting solution to market access. And that's something that African states are going to have to decide whether or not they want to push hard for something like that. That's a decision that Africans are going to have to make, rather than simply American policymakers or Congress.
There'll be elephants in the room, of course, in that meeting between the Secretary of State and Minister Naledi Pandor. One, South Africa's stance on Russia's invasion of Ukraine, particularly given how strong the condemnation of Israel's efforts were in the Gaza Strip this past couple of days.
That's two elephants in the room already. There are probably a couple more. Previous administrations have always argued that you judge your friends on the basis of the things that they stand for, rather than necessarily the specific foreign policy issues. But the two that you've mentioned have been real hot buttons for the United States, and as well as for South Africa. And I don't think when the communique comes out from the Naledi Pandor Tony Blinken meeting, and there will be a communique of some type. If there isn't, then it really means they argued and screamed a lot. That the communique is going to try to gloss over both of those differences. And that is an issue that you and I and everybody else are going to pay attention to in the next day.
And no doubt. Brooks, thank you very much for waking up early for us this Monday morning. Brooks Spector, the associate editor at Daily Maverick, but also U.S. foreign policy expert. The meeting between the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and Minister Naledi Pandor will be taking place later on today.